This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers training and education for referees of all levels. Available to listen to every Friday from 5pm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and online at refereesworld.co.uk. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMO Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator, Rich Mellon. Rich, hello, how the hell are you?
Hi, Darren, here we are again. Happy as can be.
Here we are again. You make it sound like it's a chore. This should be a love of yours, Ricardo.
I thoroughly enjoy them. Thoroughly enjoy them.
So, okay, we're going to crack straight in with this one. Our 20-minute countdown will start in just a moment. And today, on this episode, we are doing superstitions.
Can I just ask a quick question there, Darren?
Go on, then.
Did you save? Have you saved yet this morning?
Have I saved or shaved?
Both.
Well,
yes to both.
Right, okay. Rich is asking me this because in the last time we had a recording session, we did a whole load of stuff and then I forgot to save the audio, which means we had to do it all over again. Yeah. So, no, I'm all over this one.
Well done.
I'm all over this one.
Good stuff.
Right, okay. Should we crack on? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Referee's World.
It's the Referee's World podcast. Don't forget we're on Twitter and on Facebook as well if you want to get in touch with us. Right, now then, this is something Rich posted a few weeks prior to us recording this, by the way, because obviously it will depend on where and when you listen. And it was all about refereeing superstitions, Rich. What came this about?
Well, this came about because I'm thinking...
That didn't make any sense at all, did it really? How did this come about?
Yeah, how does this come about? I mean, I'm not sure. What was it? It was something I was thinking of. What do we do that's just sort of not off the radar, but we just do it because it's a routine that we go through?
So is it a routine or is it a suspicion? Superstition. I'm going to keep saying suspicion now.
I can't say. I don't know. I mean, I had my little routines. I wouldn't say it was a superstition, but it was a routine that I followed every time.
So we're going to go through your routines. We'll go through mine's. We'll touch on a few others. And we'll end with Lee Probert's superstitions or routines or whatever.
Yeah, whatever we wish to call it.
Well, I do know a fellow friend of ours, Ron Ganfield, who... used to make sure that every Premiership game that he attended, before he attended, he had a McDonald's. That was his big thing.
That was true. I had a few McDonald's with Ganny.
And Ganny's like a beanpole, and you would never think about it, would you?
Yeah, yeah. I think I put on his weight. You know.
So that's one. That's the kind of thing that we're referring to here. So,
well, other things that we did that did include when I was traveling the country with Lee, and we were going up and down the. All sorts of places, Telford, Southport, Barnet, Hereford. We found every McDonald's pre-match. And then all of a sudden, we got to Football League and our tastes changed when we found cafes and small restaurants.
Oh, you went upmarket, did you?
Yeah, and we went to very nice, what are they called? The coffee shops. I don't want
Costa?
To call them.
Costa? Yeah. Starbucks?
Well, we found the real posh ones, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It was a very nice one day. When we arrived in Barnet and we had a lovely, well, it was that nice. We had two cups and then we went into the ground. And this is a quick story about what happened. That day we went into the ground and the Cricket World Cup final was on. And we went into the Cricket World Cup final. Sorry, not into the Cricket World Cup final. That's a gobbledygook bit. We went into the ground and the car park steward said, "Hello, lads." And Lee introduced himself. "I'm the match referee, da-di-da." Then he said, "Oh, I don't know why you're doing here. You should be doing the game tomorrow, the Cricket World Cup final." And Lee got out, and Lee knows nothing about cricket. All he knew, he only knew one name, Sachin Tendulkar. And of course, that was it.
Yeah.
The car park steward knew exactly what he meant by Sachin Tendulkar. And that was it. He went on and on and on and on. And he said, "Nice to meet you, ref. Really have a really good game, etc., etc., etc." Looked after his car all afternoon.
Just
after
about to say, that is an area that we could touch on an episode, the importance of making yourself known to people on arrival and the way in which you deal with it. Don't arrive as the big I am. I'm the referee. What do I do? Just introduce yourself, say hello, and whatever level you're speaking to somebody from that club.
Yeah, good point.
You know, treat them all the same because, you know, you'll get looked after in the end.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. There are some of our colleagues, and I've been with one or two of them. If Mark Lawrence is still listening, because the first time that you and I ever met, Darren, mm-hmm. was at Almondsbury. Mm-hmm. Mark was doing FA Vars. He was in the middle. You were assistant referee. And Mark, I picked him up on 20-odd different points from the time that we arrived in the car park until we left that day. So, you know, it's they are those issues are there, those little routines that we don't realise that we go through that are pointless, irrelevant, they are there.
Okay, so what was your routine then? We're talking about, superstitions, routines prior to a game.
My routine was into the changing room, leave the changing room door open so the dog can see the rabbit. Choose which one's the dog, choose which
you
one's
the rabbit.
You just
wanted to flash yourself around naked, everybody, didn't you? That's what that was about.
I'm not so sure about that. But, but when you're at the game, you're there, you're trying to connect with players, you're trying to connect with the clubs, and the way in which you do it has an outcome that sometimes does work and you don't realise it's worked. But my routine was, and I can remember the first day that I ever tried this, and this is when I went to a game up near Weston-super-Mare, and I went into the club, and I just thought I'd try something different because I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to see the players' faces. I wanted the players to see me. So when I went into the change room, put my bag down, start undoing my bag, and I left the door deliberately wide open so the dog could see the rabbit. Do you see what I'm thinking?
It makes you approachable, doesn't it?
I think it helps.
And it breaks a certain barrier.
You know, some people walk past, don't say a dicky bird. Other people walk past, all right, ref.
All right,
you
ref.
Know? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know,
all right, ref, is that all you got? I'd shut the door if I were you.
I've had that one quite a few times, actually.
So have I, mate.
Yeah, too many times to remember. But when the thing for me is not to ignore it. Make a point, you know, even if you only stick your head around the corner of the door and say, yeah, good to see you. How are you? That's how you set up a rapport with players. And, you know, they've got somebody that wants to talk to them. They want to talk to him naturally. That comes across. And then, you know, what I went through as regards the actual part of my routine was having put my bag down, unpack it, hang up my shirt, my undergarments, and everything else. And then the way in which I got dressed, I looked at my watch at a particular time. I would get dressed at a particular time. 3 o'clock kickoff, I would start getting dressed for refereeing by 2:10. And by 2:20, I wanted to be dressed. My kit went on in different stages. I never put my shirt on until I pressed the button, the buzzer to call the teams out, and that was at 6:02. Never put my shirt on until 6:02.
That's very Paul Ince, isn't it? You remember he used to walk out of the tunnel, would never put his shirt on until he walked out onto the field of play.
Okay. You know, it's simple little things like that. And the other things that I always made sure that in my kit bag, I had two undergarments because whether you're hot and sweaty or it's very cold and wet, you need two sets of undergarments to help you through the comfort of those early periods of the game, first half and second half, you know, so you can focus and get on with your decision making. And it does work. The last thing that I ever put on was my left sock. I said my shirt was before my shirt, my left sock was the last thing I put on.
Are you one of these that has one pair of socks or two pairs of socks?
Oh, I doubled up.
Are we getting really into the nitty gritty of this now?
In my kit bag, I doubled up on everything.
Yeah.
I doubled up on everything. It's just the way I was. Just the way I was.
And what about superstitions sort of in the sort of 15 minutes building up to the game kicking off?
I went into a little zone, quieter zone. I was in a quieter zone. I didn't want loud music. I know some colleagues do use music for motivation, for, you know, ramping it up a little bit, but I didn't want that. I wanted to do that those quiet moments so I could focus on what I was going to do, so I could visualise what I'd been thinking all over the week before. I'd visualise tackles. What would I do? What would I say? How would I go about it? You know, I wanted people to work with me and I wanted my credibility to be as high as possible, so I had to work on certain things that would help me, and I just think those things help me. And it's not about my career, but it's about giving ideas about how people find the zone, apply focus and concentration, and at what time. Because I can remember, I can't remember the guy's name from Weston-super-Mare. John was his first name. Anyhow, he would have a sausage roll at 2:30. Every time I went with John, I can remember where he lives, but I can't remember his name. He would have a sausage roll at 2:30. One guy, I think it was Stevie Bratt. Steve Bratt, the first time I met Steve Bratt was at, I think it was Cheltenham. He come down there and Stevie Bratt had a cheese and pickle sandwich at 2:40.
I can't eat before a game. I would get up on the day of the game. I'd have my breakfast and I'd drink a lot of water in the build-up to the game on that day. But I wouldn't eat anything except for Haribos and wine gums and stuff on the way there. And when I get there on a county league game, I'd always get there 90 minutes before and I'd walk onto the field of play, have a little bit of a feel around, suited and booted and all that kind of thing. Go to the change room, drop my kit off, say hello to... Look for somebody. The first thing I would do when I get there is look for somebody and introduce myself.
Good point.
Going back to what we were saying before.
That's a good point.
Doesn't matter who it was.
Yeah.
Hello, ref. This is what I love about you, as you do. And it's sort of... I found that it breaks the ice a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think the introductions early on arrival at the ground are important, you know. Find the tea lady, because that person, or I assume it would be a tea lady, but that person, she is, for me, when I was going to the grounds, the tea lady was the most important person. She might be the chairman's wife. Yeah. She might be the secretary's wife.
Exactly.
Who knows what that tea lady's background is?
And over the years, you tend to build up relationships with various clubs, so you do get to know who they are on arrival. But again, making sure that I've introduced myself and said hello to somebody, so on and so forth. Then I would go and get changed into my training kit. I didn't have any particular order about how I got dressed, but what I do is... I always clean my boots in the changing room, so before a game.
Now, I
know that we've talked about rocking up with clean boots every time.
Definitely.
And generally, they are fairly clean, okay? But I always put and do a polish, a
There's
wax.
There's no excuse to have
there.
Dirty boots.
No, none at
no
all.
No excuse
none at all.
At all.
I think it devalues you as a referee if you turn up with dirty kit. But I always manage to find time to clean my boots with a couple of brushes and the wax polish stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of my...
Wax polish, okay. Yeah. I used to use baby oil to make mine look pretty.
Oh, right, okay. No, I use the actual shoe
that
polish. I
used to glisten them up, you know, especially when under the floodlights, you know, you walk out there and your boots are nice and clean. And some people wear white laces. Some people wear white laces in their boots, you know. Tradition going back 20, 30 years, and I'll refer to Eddie Hughes. Mm-hmm. Eddie Hughes was, I think, the first referee I remember meeting who wore white laces in his boots. Mm-hmm. Then there were a few others. Alec Lees, bless him, no longer with us, but Alex was our referee's officer when I first met him, and he was a white laces person. Mm-hmm. Peter Waters, another gentleman through refereeing, I learned so much from, and white laces were a thing.
Do you carry anything around with you as like a sort of a good luck charm? You sometimes hear, you can't wear a necklace. Ah, right, okay. No, I mean, during the game.
No.
Rich has just pulled a necklace out with a whistle on the end, which is a really nice necklace and stuff. But is there anything you'd have in your pockets?
No. No.
Apart from your essential stuff.
Yeah, the essential stuff are the important bits for me. I never put anything extra in my bag. There was a time when I was conscious about what coin I took out, but that soon dropped. I just thought, don't be silly. Don't waste money. Don't take a pound coin out. You know, even though you're going to be giving a pound to the mascot.
Absolutely. But people do have varying and very different sort of superstitions. I know of players and referees that have, particularly the undergarments, have never washed their undergarments. and that's pretty disgusting.
Do you want to name any names here?
No,
I know any of them?
Quite probably, because there's not many people that you don't know, is there? Anybody you don't know isn't worth knowing. So, so let's talk about Probert then. Let's find out what his superstitions were.
Okay, well, I mean, I met Lee.
I was going to say, let's recap, because you've got a long relationship with Lee. You're good mates. You work together outside of the podcast and in life in general. So you've been around together.
Yeah, we're good mates. I first met Lee early 90s when he came across from the Isle of Wight. He moved from the Isle of Wight to Bridgewater, where I live, and I had a phone call. And the phone call was basically set up by Ron Groves. Ron Groves, an ex-Premier League referee and a guy that I learnt a lot from. Another white laces man, Ron Groves. Met Ron through various reasons, through football and sitting on committees where I learnt a little bit in the early days. And Lee was introduced to me by Ron, who told him, give Richard Mellon a ring. He's chairman at Bridgewater RA. He'll invite you in, da-di-da. And that's what I did. Lee phoned me up. He said, what have I got to do? Can I come to your meetings? I said, yeah, of course you come to our meetings. And along he came. He said to me, what's the first thing, you know, you can tell me? And that. I said, what do you mean? He said, give me a tip. I said, well, just know when to put your hands in your pocket and when not to put your hands in your pocket. And that means cautions, you know, that have an impact on the game, the right level of impact, the right delivery, the right manner in which you do it. And from there, I think it's about 1992, 93. From there, we just hit it off ever since, and we're good mates. And we speak every day. We speak every day at least once. And we progressed to the Football League. I've got a couple of photos when we progressed to the Football League. Lee came on a year after I did. So he was rapidly moving through the ranks because Lee's 15, 16 years younger than me. And he rapidly moved through the ranks once he'd come across. And I'm not sure that was anything to do with what I was helping him with, but you know, he had a talent for refereeing, and he had some good mentors in the background when he was on the Isle of Wight, and still he's in contact with those mentors to this day, and they've helped him, set him up to the career that he had. Lee's superstition, when he first got to the Football League and Level 2A, he wouldn't carry the match ball out onto the field of play.
Why?
Superstition. Thought it was bad luck. I'm not playing. Why do I need to handle the ball? Why should I carry the ball out into the field of play? He got one of the assistant referees to carry it out. And, of course, one of the assistant referees, I'm carrying the ball out, quite happy, all puffed up and went out there and put the ball on the centre spot and that was it. Lee never touched the match ball. Never touched the match ball.
Until what point?
Until he was told, stop it. And Ron Groves, our friend and mentor, he got hold of Lee and said, hey, this has got to stop. We don't have that sort of thing going on the Football League. And it very quickly stopped. Next game, he was carrying the ball out and that was it. He was holding it like it was on a plinth, on the fingertips, walking out onto the field of play, carrying it like it was on a plinth. And that was one of Lee's things that he had to drop very, very quickly.
And how did he feel about that? Because when you change a routine or a superstition, it can unnerve you until you settled into it.
Focus. Focus. Referee... the occasion, not the emotion. Leave the emotions in the changing room. Get your head on to the game. He had to be focused and ready to do it. So, he might have been grumpy up until kickoff, but he had to be ready at 3 o'clock. That first game at Northampton. Northampton versus Torquay on a blistering hot day.
And was he thinking about it all the way through the day before kickoff?
No, I don't think... I think superstitions and routines are... habitual, aren't they? You don't think about them very often, not until, by the way, Richard, you're carrying the ball out for me today. I don't carry the ball out to the centre circle. I don't think we prepare like that. I think that's just off the cuff and it's how it happens. But I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who've got superstitions or routines that they go through.
Yeah, I think if you've got a superstition or a routine that you can share with us on the Referees World podcast, then you can get in touch via the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk, or you can send us a tweet at Referees World on Twitter, and we're also on Facebook. Just search for Referees World podcast. I think our 20 minutes is close to being up and done and dusted, Rich.
Yep, we're there.
So, there you go. Hope you've enjoyed that episode. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, please feel free by the ways that we've just talked about. And we issue the podcast, or it becomes available to listen, every Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And you can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and via the website, refereesworld.co.uk. And don't forget, if you have any discussions that you would like to go into, our friends Ref Chat, go to the Ref Chat forum and get involved and get stuck into one of the refereeing world's biggest communities to have a discussion about. Right now, we'll see you next time.
The download is complete.
From grassroots to the World Cup.
This is the Referees World podcast.